Thank you, Paul. I want to thank Paul and the Econ Icon Program Office for organizing tonight's event and for inviting me. And first and foremost, too, I want to invite all of you for coming. I see some familiar faces here. I warn you that some of the things I say tonight you might have already heard. First I want to say is that web engineering is a real passion of mine, so I welcome every opportunity to talk about it. And I hope that some of the passion that I have about it will rub on you tonight. And you can understand, I think, appreciate the importance of this area and the potential of this area for helping in the development of web applications and services. Let's see, how do I think?
Okay.
My basic premises for tonight's talk is the fact that since the beginning of the web, it's now safe to say that the development of a web-based system is no longer simply an event. Announcing a website or announcing a web page used to be thought of as an event, but now it has become a process. The other thing I think that we can all agree about, too, is that web-based systems are growing systems. They're never really, for the most part, complete. So the whole idea that we used to have of a website being under construction was a bit of a misnomer. I never liked that idea, because the idea was that a website or a web application is in fact a growing thing and has to be treated as such. The other thing that I want to, this is going to be a justification for tonight's topic, is to say that web-based applications are in their own way adding a whole new dimension, I think, the software applications. They're adding a whole series of kinds of applications that were never, in fact, dreamed of before. Could have been dreamed of before. So those are my basic premises. As Paul was saying, basically, the web started out as a fairly simple phenomenon. Really just a simple way of sharing documentation and sharing information. But I think it's safe to say, as Stephen Wolfram does in his book, New Science, that even very simple rules ultimately can lead to very complex behavior. And I think that's what we're seeing, too, in the case of development of web applications. It is now technically possible. We have the resources. We have the technology to make it possible to feasibly put the entire creative works of man online. And this is an effort that's being done by Brewster Kahle at the Internet Archives. So I think when the web was starting, one could never imagine that that would be within the sphere of influence that it could have. Also, in the fourth quarter of last year, e-commerce, which means commerce via the web and the Internet, accounted for 2% of all retail sales in the United States, $18.4 billion. So that really means that what used to be a simple phenomenon is taking off and being used in ways that was never really imagined initially. What I want to do now is I want to think about the web development or evolution in terms of several generations. Okay? And this is what I refer to as being the first generation of the web. Basically, it was a fairly simple client-server system that used fairly simple protocols. with a client, typically in this case a web browser. You would make a response to a server, and the server would respond with some kind of resource. The only application protocol that was used was HTTP. You had a choice of browsers, and then occasionally those browsers, in order to compensate for features that they did not have, would support helper applications or plugins. The web server was pretty much limited to satisfying HTTP requests. Maybe it ran some simple scripts like CGI applications that could access databases and information systems. This basically was the first generation of the web. The second generation added upon that, but really the client-server model stayed the same. The application protocol stayed the same. What you really saw was in this protocol, in the web system, there were additions of other kinds of features such as cookies. There were additional kinds of capabilities that happened on the server side to enable, for example, servers to serve multimedia and issues such as that. And so consequently, that led to the development of helper applications that would handle audio and video. This was the second generation. Now, I would contend at this point that we are somewhere right now between the second and the third generation. And I'll explain what I think that those additional generations are in just a minute. But first, let's look at sort of the impact of where we stand with respect to the second generation. And before I do that, I think some definitions are in order. I want to make sure that we agree on some of the terminology that I'm going to be using. First off is I define a web system as being an infrastructure that enables and supports a web application, quite generally. And I define a web application as being a distributed application, obviously one that works over the World Wide Web, that accomplishes a certain business need. And it's based upon the technologies of the web, and it consists of web-unique or web-specific resources. All right, now, that said, let's look at what our track record is with respect to where we stand between the second and third generations. Here's a graphic that I got from the Qatar Consortium, and it basically is evaluating what happened in terms of problems with large web-based projects. Okay? And you can see that based on this report, that only 16% of these large projects really only satisfied the business need for which they were intended. Only 47% of them had the specification, the functionality that the users or the hosting organization desired. Only 21% of them were delivered on time, and only 37% were delivered within budget. That is not an impressive track record. That does not give you great faith with whatever techniques are being used to develop web applications.
Sorry, can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's the preferred percentage for client-server model type?
Oh, for client-server in general, I don't have that data with me.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Worse.
Probably, I would say even worse. That's a guess. Okay, so let's then try to somehow figure out why we had an experience like that. What was there about web application development that could lead to those kinds of problems? Because basically what we try to do in the design of a web application, be it a website or anything of that nature, is to take some kind of design model that we have, some sort of business criteria, and basically implement it using web technology. Typically, certainly in the first generation, the majority of that technology was creating HTML. Or HTML applications. But what we also saw in this time period was it was still pretty much an ad hoc kind of activity. It wasn't a disciplined procedure. In fact, if you recall, there was obviously an encouraged copy and paste paradigm. There used to be sort of the feeling that if you saw something on a website that you liked, then all you had to do was view source and copy it and put it into your application in order to have the same kind of functionality. You didn't have to necessarily understand what it did, but you knew that you in fact could plagiarize that and offer that functionality to your users. There was a lack between this design model and this implementation model because most of it, as I said, was ad hoc. And so many of the design concepts that might have been intended got lost. The other big problem that happened with respect to this ad hoc model was the idea, once again, that most websites, especially e-commerce sites, do have very short life cycles. There's enormous pressure upon the development of web applications for quick turnaround, for freshness. And maintenance and evolution of such sites was a major problem because a lot of those elements within those sites were not designed with reuse in mind. So these kinds of things, I would contend, led to the web, to a web crisis. Very similar to what you had with the software crisis in the 60s that led to the development of software engineering and such things as structured programming. Really trying to address those kinds of design issues that could have led to the kinds of problems that were encountered in those first two generations. So in summary, I could say that web application development, current practices, sort of at that time, can be described as lacking rigor and lacking some kind of systematic approach. And like those statistics would suggest, usually the completed system is not what the user wanted or what the user expected. The statistics also suggested the fact that systems were not developed on time and there were cost overruns. And we also know from our experience that there were scalability and maintainability issues. All of these things put together leads to a business nightmare in that resources are wasted and not fully taken advantage of. Okay? So we had these types of problems. Inability to maintain. We were unable to meet evolving needs. They were unreliable. There were crashes that you would see. Pages not found, 404 issues, database errors. And web-dependent organizations cannot afford to have these kinds of errors. Cannot afford to have security issues and reliability issues. Because of their visibility, you know, incredible visibility can always lead to something that is detrimental to the organization. How often do you see news in the paper as a result of web-dependent organizations having trouble? It's big news when somebody defaults on eBay. It's big news when somebody breaks into Amazon. All those are very high-profile applications that cannot afford to have these kinds of issues. Cannot afford to have dependability issues, cannot afford to have out-of-date and stale information. And it's clear in this case that if there is a problem with the web, it's impossible to hide. You try to go to Amazon and you can't get to it. There's no way that Amazon can explain that failure away. Okay, now why did this happen? Well, part of the reason this issue arose is that there was the mentality associated with the development of these sites and applications that web development is just creating web pages. Because everybody thought that creating web pages was so easy. Anyone could do it. You could learn how to create a web page in an hour. Okay? You could learn to create a website in an afternoon. HTML for dummies. Learn HTML in 24 hours. Those were the mantras that people were using. And then came the tools. All you needed was FrontPage and Dreamweaver, and you didn't even have to know HTML. So we've been taught to think that it's an easy thing to do. And certain applications, we can say, still legitimate for that. If you want to create your own home site, home page, if you want to do simple pages, sure, that's the way to do it. But typically, we're talking about more complex web-based applications. And it goes, many of them, or most of them, go far beyond this idea of simply displaying information about you, your interests, and your job. Okay. There's more to web application development than visual design and user interface. Sure, you can have a pretty website, but what really matters is what's behind that pretty face. So, what we have to be able to understand is that how we led to those problems is we didn't have the planning, we didn't have the system design, the testing, the maintenance, the quality assurance, the performance evaluation, the scalability, all those things that we've heard before with other systems, but not necessarily with web systems. Okay? Lack of consideration for such things as navigation, accessibility, scalability, reliability, maintainability, all the utilities, I like to say, had to be considered. Okay. As I said before, web development in many organizations became a political challenge. Anyone could be a web content provider or a maintainer. So, for example, in an organization, you have a general organizational website that might be maintained by multiple groups. The IT department might have their own, marketing might have their own, personnel might have their own, operating totally independently of one another. Once again, without any structure, without any process for evolution, integration, and coordination. When you see something like this, you can imagine that very often you had things with like redundancy of information, contradictory information, those kinds of things, simply because each one of these kinds of units were operating independently of one another. Okay? I think I've pretty much covered most of these items. But the idea basically is we were seeing in the first two generations of the web this lack of attention, this lack of understanding about those elements that were important to be able to use the web to its full potential. Okay? So, I mentioned what I thought was the second generation. Well, let's look at the third generation. And I think we're easing into the third generation now. We still have the client-server model. But look what's happened to the application protocol. No longer do we just have HTTP. We've added such protocols as SOAP, to allow you to incorporate such things as legacy systems. WebDAV, to allow you to do publishing and other kinds of protocols. As far as user agents, notice this now says user agents. It doesn't say browser anymore. Because we're thinking about web clients that run on cell phones, that run on PDAs, that run on refrigerators. We should not, in fact, be limited by where this web application, this client application may run. Okay? We actually see web applications that are agents, such as the robots that do indexing. They're not interested in actually seeing the pages. They're interested in being able to cull information from the pages. So this whole client side in the third generation has totally changed. Okay? The system has become more complex. So once again, we're not dealing just with HTTP and cookies like we had in the second generation. We've got a number of other protocols. We're including such things as FTP, SMTP, UDDI, that's Universal Discovery and Investigation. So there's a number of other kinds of protocols that are affected. And then on the server side, that once again has become more complex. We want to have APIs in addition to CGI. We want our servers to be able to run Java servlets. We want them to be able to run other kinds of applications. We want XML support, not just HTML support. We want to provide a lot of other issues on the server side. So it's fairly clear that if we had problems with the technologies in the second generation, what on earth is going to happen with the third generation? Because we've got a far more complex system. And in fact, I would contend it's getting worse, because this is the fourth generation. And the interesting thing about this fourth generation scenario is that we've really lost the client and server model. We've got all these processes, these applications that are running in conjunction with one another. Once again, maybe using HTTP as the primary protocol or SOAP, but there's a lot more functionality associated with what they're doing, and there's a lot more requirements with respect to the way they do it. For example, PLS, the presence location server, the whole purpose there is that a request can be identified by location, okay, in an easy way. We've got context information. The semantic web, for example, allows you to establish context between pieces of data that possibly could come from different servers. And all of these are leading to what could be described as model-driven support systems. So this is by no means the web that we're used to. And once again, if we don't have a methodology, how can we expect to deal with those issues that we saw after two generations in the fourth generation? And what's driving this motivation? What's driving this whole issue? Well, we still have Moore's Law, okay? So computing power is still doubling approximately every 18 months. And what we're also seeing is that we're seeing very low-cost data centers. We're seeing farms of PCs that are allowing throughput and processing capabilities that a decade ago was limited only to so-called supercomputers. We're seeing low-cost internet and wireless. We're seeing all kinds of devices, as I said, that now support user agents. Of course, my favorite one right here is the client coffee cup that, in fact, determines the temperature of your coffee and tells a web server and makes a request to start a new pot of coffee. Okay. We've got a whole proliferation in the technology of internet standards, most of which are based on XML. XML is going to be the lingua franca of web applications and services. And given all the types of devices that we've got, user interfaces, it's no longer just what's on the desktop. It's no longer what's on your laptop. We have to be able to think about providing usability considerations for the broad range of devices that now want to support web applications. It's a monumental issue, but also a very exciting one, I would contend. So when we look at these kinds of requirements, when we look at the kinds of applications that we would like to run, or we've seen historically on the web, or anticipate to see on the web, we can think of them in this way. Along the x-axis, we've got a scale that says over toward the origin, things are document-centered. And that we're talking about simple sites. That progresses toward web applications that are more application-centered, that don't focus so much on the creation of documents. And on the Y scale, we see certainly a simple to complex scale of, with respect to all of these kinds of applications. So when the web started, you know, you did have static pages. And then you had something that was a little more complex by dynamically generating content, like .asp or something of that nature. But you can see that where this evolution is driving us are to web services and service-based web applications and federations. That once again, now the focus is on the application. So those old techniques that we use for developing websites, web-supported documentation, will no longer be applicable. We're talking about very complex systems, typically systems that no individual is typically able to do themselves. You're talking about very heterogeneous systems that have a lot of different aspects to them. So we're saying that the focus now that we saw on that slide about technology drivers is we've got an unlimited number of ubiquitously usable web applications. We're talking about the audience considerations, many users, many languages, many cultures, access mechanisms, and many user agents, none of which we've perhaps seen before. We're talking about huge volumes of information, many of which are interrelated to one another, and our whole purpose of our application is to bring them from separate sources and unify them in a way for presentation. And obviously, we're talking about those areas of complexity that must be introduced. So it's a major issue. What does this mean in terms of web-based businesses? Well, I would contend that the major risks to web-based businesses, e-commerce businesses, the major risks that are possible via the development of web applications would be such things as a long system delivery time. You don't want to have to wait for the development of that application. Low responsiveness to business changes, or slow responsiveness to business changes. Support costs and questionable quality. These are things that would drive businesses away from becoming web-based. So what web-based businesses expect or want is they want shortened delivery times, they want improved quality, and they want optimized return on their investment. So with these desires matched then against what we're seeing in terms of the evolution for web technology, that expresses a need for process, I would contend. That all these certain requirements, all these different requirements, is going to force the web development community to take a systematic approach that thinks about developing web applications in a cost-effective way and satisfying those issues that we saw earlier, like maintainability, reliability, and delivering on time. The need for a process will help to address some of those issues that we've identified. Now, you can expect where I'm leading now with this, as far as the name of the talk. Is this process simply software engineering? Will software engineering address the issues that we've identified? Because certainly there's a lot of commonality in those areas of risk, like maintainability, reuse. They're common issues that are discussed in software engineering. But at this slide, I would contend that there are fundamental differences between the development of software applications that are typically addressed in software engineering methods, and what is required in the case of the web. For example, we can say that they are due, that some of these differences are due to the nature and the distinct requirements of web-based systems. You know, we're not talking about writing applications that will run on single platforms. We don't know, for example, the audience that may be using some of these web-based applications. The development of web-based systems often requires programming and specialty software that is unique to the application of the web, that has to take advantage with the technology that is inherent in the web. Web-based systems are document-oriented or application-oriented. That might have been not been the case in regular software systems. There's more emphasis on look and feel. There's more emphasis on content. There's more of a need to cater to users with diverse skills, capabilities in different languages, etc. The requirements for developing such applications are typically constrained to short development times, which may not necessarily be an issue in normal software engineering. We can say that web-based systems differ by means of their access, that's fairly obvious, and the way in which they're delivered. They have different lifespans. They have different development requirements than software engineering. They need to be scalable. They need to have varying performance requirements and cope with changes. For example, cope with network changes, network traffic, which certainly might not be something that you see in normal software applications. Security is a major issue. And of course, they must be subject to various legal, social, and ethical scrutiny, which is typically not applied toward general software applications, but is applicable in the case of the web. Now, why would I refer to this as engineering? Well, I saw a quote once that was saying that engineering is associated with scale-up of a system. And new issues arise when scaling by two or more orders of magnitude. So, for example, when you move from a hut to an office building, you require the need of an engineer and an architect in order to accomplish that. And the skills of architects and engineers are different from those needed for designing and building simple structures and simple systems as the level of their complexity go up. That's why we can refer to this as engineering, because we would contend that going from the first and second generations to the third and fourth generations of web systems does in fact constitute at least two orders of magnitude change. So I can define web engineering as being the application of a systematic, disciplined, and quantifiable approach to the design, production, deployment, operation, and maintenance and evolution of web-based software products. So it is talking about the application of project and program methodologies specifically to the development of web-based applications and systems. It incorporates a lot of knowledge that was not in software engineering. In some ways, I would contend that web engineering is a superset of software engineering, because you're still concerned with the issues that software engineers are, but you also must add to that the issues that are of interest to network engineering. Because the quality of your system also depends on the quality of the network, which is the transportation media for which people will be using your application. It depends on an understanding of hypermedia. How most effectively can you use the web? How does it relate to the way in which people think and the way that people want to be able to use web-based applications? So you're concerned with issues such as navigation, visualization, etc. You're concerned with how people might use the web for doing such things as collaboration. Web engineering also requires knowledge of information systems, since most or a great deal, I would say, of the information that we want to get from the web is dependent upon resources that lie in databases or in file systems. And of course, there may be others. But all of these are skills or knowledge areas that I believe have to come together in order to identify some of those areas of risk and some of those areas of issue that we identified after the second generation web. And even if you look at, for example, categories of what web-based systems are doing, you can see that we are talking now about more and more complex systems that involve integration of a lot of different capabilities, doing such things as workflow-oriented systems for status monitoring, collaborative work, portals, shopping malls, etc. Far more complex logically, far more complex in terms of the applications that they involve using. Here's something that I like to have in here, sort of to address the idea of why engineering is important. And actually, I had this slide for the New York Web Conference because this is the Brooklyn Bridge. And this was an article that was done that was talking about the pressures upon engineers and the pressures upon programmers or software developers. And it was attempting in that way to draw a parallel between the two. The Brooklyn Bridge is an amazing structure. And it asks the issue or addresses the issue, do engineers design and do designers engineer? Okay? And basically, whenever you see some sort of formidable structure like this bridge, you understand that it's a combination of both. There is the art of design combined with the art of engineering. And web engineering suggests that we can no longer be dependent strictly on the art of design. Another part of this particular article I thought was quite fun is that if you compare, Washington Roebling was the designer of the Brooklyn Bridge. If you compare what was done between a modern web developer and what his team did, they still were concerned about development time. They still were concerned about how to get the power and resources. They still had certain issues with respect to what motivated their team or did not motivate them. They all had hazards. A web developer has a hazard of having some stress-related injury like carpal tunnel syndrome. Many of the builders of the Brooklyn Bridge had to work underwater, so they were concerned about issues with the bends. Web developers worry about being laid off. Bridge developers and architects worry about being killed. So each of these groups, in their own way, have similar connections between the tasks that they perform, the risks that they face, and the issues that they attempt to address. So, going back for a definition for web engineering, I would contend that web engineering can be defined as a holistic and proactive approach to web systems development. And it does that by offering a systematic and disciplined methodology. And there is a lot of focus on the management of the development resources in parallel with the diversity of the application that is being developed. And by doing that, by incorporating these, it brings to the whole web-based development system an idea of control, risk minimization, and greater emphasis on maintenance and quality. There are other factors that are addressed by web engineering, such things as orientation, navigation, how to cope with changing technologies, how to cope with budget constraints, how to put together development teams and have them effectively work together, how to make this great division between theory and practice what the theoreticians, as it were, in web technology suggest, and how it actually works. They also attempt to address the issues of lack of understanding that may be existing between the stakeholders of a website, the developers of a website, and the users of a website or application. So the whole goals, then, of web engineering are to develop effective, efficient, and desired applications that are capable of being maintained and that are evolvable, are able to cope with change, are able to cope with upcoming web technology developments. In terms of the activities that are associated, this is similar to what, once again, that we saw when we talked about software engineering. The activities in web engineering certainly require requirements analysis, requirements engineering, system analysis, web development methodologies and techniques. There's a number of those. How do you incorporate legacy systems into a web-based environment? How do you develop web-based applications? How do you deal with multimedia data types? How do you do testing? How do you do quality measure metrics with respect to it to ensure that your site is satisfying its goal? It requires that there be management of access to applications, so it involves security, configuration and project management, development effort, performance specification, etc., etc. All of these are activities that have to come under the umbrella of web engineering. Web engineering is multidisciplinary. It's incorporating a lot of different disciplines that typically a single individual is not going to be able to have a complete grasp of. You know, everything from information engineering and architecture to interface engineering and how to deal effectively with multimedia, how to deal effectively with database systems, modelings and simulations. Because I think you can see that each one of these boxes has a place, has a role in the development of a web-based application or system. So I would contend that yesterday's webmaster, you know, where you had one person who could really handle just about everything, you know, one person that was often maybe even a 14-year-old that knew how to do everything with respect to a website. Yesterday's webmaster has to become tomorrow's web engineer if, in fact, the web is able to satisfy what's happening to it technologically and is able to live up to its full potential. Here are several resources. that you're interested in additional information. There is the Web Engineering Community Portal that has a great deal of information, references, articles, etc. about web engineering. Paul mentioned the Journal of Web Engineering, which you can find at that site. I hope this is appropriate, but I encourage you to take a look at it and maybe even subscribe to it. And there actually now is an international conference series on web engineering. The next one of these is going to be in July in Sydney, Australia. So there's some very exciting things that are happening in the area of web engineering. There's a great deal of very interesting work and how these particular techniques and applications can be applied to effective web applications and systems. So, thank you very much.